When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done.
All right, you did a great job there. I wasn't sure if anybody'd sing or not, but I'm glad you all did. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And it is a great time. It is a time for us to remember all of our blessings. It is a time for us to recount all the joy that God has brought into our life. It is a time for us to express our gratitude for the people in our life who we love and who are there for us. In fact, it is a great idea to give thanks. To be quite honest, it's an idea that we ought to be doing all the time. It is an activity that we ought to be continuously involved in. And really, before I go any farther in my sermon, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to all of you for all of your prayers, all of your calls, your texts, your cards, the brownies. I want to thank all of the men who filled in, Billy and Michael and Seth and Darren who preached in my absence. And thank all the elders and all their support, and each one, all those that have worked, the deacons, everyone who's just lifted me up, I thank you for being there for me. And to be quite honest, who among us isn't blessed here this morning? Really, who among us isn't blessed beyond belief, beyond what we deserve? Who among us isn't blessed beyond all other people in this world? I mean, to be quite honest, if we started making a list of our blessings, it would go on and on and on and on. Now, you might not say it'd be never ending, but it'd be close. One after the other, after the other, after the other. And as much as I believe we need to have this attitude of constant gratitude for all the great blessings God has showered upon us, I want us to ask ourselves, what about the things that aren't going so well? What about the things that aren't going our way? What about the things that we didn't ask for and we didn't want? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I mean, can we really be expected to thank God for the stuff that we didn't want? Or worse yet, thank God for those things that are the opposite of what we asked for, of what we requested from Him? Today I want us to start a new series. In this series I've entitled, "Be Thankful for the Unthinkable." Thankful for the unthinkable. All those things that we should be thankful for when we really never think of them. That we normally wouldn't think were something we should be thankful for, that we were blessed by. In fact, all those things that we often try to avoid, but in essence, really, if we look at them honestly, are blessings in our life. Now, I'll be honest with you, this entire series sprung out of my own personal discussions with God. And in all honesty with you this morning, I'm still working on some of these lessons. I'm still learning them. Maybe you are too. Maybe you're working on some of them as well. So I want us to start this morning by thinking about being thankful for unanswered prayer. Now, I think we've all been here, where we feel like God is not listening to us, where we feel like the door of heaven has been shut, and no matter how loud we scream, we are not being heard. There was a journalist who was assigned to Jerusalem. And so she took an apartment overlooking the Wailing Wall. And every day as she looked out of her apartment window, she noticed that there was an older Jewish man praying vigorously at the wall. So one day this journalist decides that she's going to go down and talk to this older man. She asked him, she said, "You come here every day to this wall. How long have you been doing that, and what are you praying for?" The old man thought back for a moment. And he says, "Well, I've been coming here to pray every day for 25 years. In the morning, I pray for world peace and then for the brotherhood of man. I go home, I have a cup of tea, and I come back and pray for the eradication of illness and disease from the entire earth." This journalist was amazed at this old man's commitment to prayer. So she asked, "Well, how does it make you feel to come here every day for 25 years and pray about these things?" And the old man looked at her sadly, and he said, "Like I'm talking to a wall." Isn't that how we often feel? Like we're just talking to the wall. I mean, no one's listening. Nothing's happening. What's going on here, God? How is it possible to be thankful for silence? How is it possible to be thankful for no? How is it possible to be thankful for not now? I mean, really, God's word tells us over and over and over and over again that we ought to pray. We are told to ask in faith. We are told that we do not have because we do not ask. We are told in God's word that we have been given the opportunity to go into the very throne room of grace. And yet sometimes our prayers aren't answered. So how is it that we can be thankful? Why doesn't God just bless us with, "You got it. You got it. Whatever you ask for, you've got it." Tim Keller was thinking, reflecting on the passage that goes like this: "Don't be anxious, but make your request to God with thanksgiving." So as he's reflecting on this passage, this story in his life, this event in his life came to mind. And here's the event. This is what he says. He says, when he was in his 20s, he said, "I prayed for an entire year about a girl I was dating and I wanted to marry. But she wanted out of the relationship. And so all year I prayed," he says, "Lord, don't let her break up with me. Of course, in hindsight, it was the wrong girl for me. But I actually did all I could to help God with this request. It was summer, and so I moved closer to her so I could try to take down every barrier that might be getting in the way of our relationship." He says, "I said, Lord, I'm making this easy as possible for you. I've asked you for this. Don't let her break up with me. And I've even taken the geographic distance away." He says, but as he looks back, he feels as if God was saying, "Son, when a child of mine makes a request, I always give that person what he or she would have asked if they knew everything that I know. If they knew everything that I know." I think it's important for us to realize that God answers prayer. But sometimes, it's not like we want. It's not like we want. It's not even what we thought about. And yet, even in those times, we should be thankful. Now you might be thinking to yourself, well, what is there to be thankful for in unanswered prayer? In a prayer that isn't done the way I want, what can I possibly be thankful for when God answers my prayer contrary to what I ask Him for? Well, for that, I want us to look at some unanswered prayers in God's Word. Now, I hesitate to call them unanswered because they're not really unanswered. What they are actually is prayers that are answered contrary to the request that was made. And the first prayer I want to look at, it goes something like this: "Lord, get me out of here." Now that is one of those prayers that we all have prayed. "Lord, get me out of here. I want to escape this situation. I am desperate to be set free." The actual prayer that I want to look at this morning is found in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. Here is Elijah. This is what he says. It says, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Now I want you to look beyond the actual words of this prayer to the heart of Elijah. And I want you to think about what he's really saying here when he says, Lord, let me die. I want out of this. What he's really saying is, I am overwhelmed. I am discouraged. I'm at my wit's end and I can take it no more. You've got to get me some relief, God. I can't take this. Now God answers his prayer. And he may not hear a voice necessarily, at least not at first. But this is how I believe God answers his prayer. God answers, I am here with you. When we get to that place, I want you to understand that God is answering us. I am here with you. A few verses later, in that same chapter, we find Elijah. He has been led up a mountain. He's in a cave. And this is about 40 days after the prayer, but God is still answering the prayer. And if you remember, Elijah comes to the mouth of the cave, and all of a sudden, God lets this mighty wind blow by. I think in my mind, tornado. Woo, it goes by there. But God's not in that wind. Then the very next thing is the ground starts shaking and Elijah's sitting there in the mouth of the cave and I'm sure rocks are falling. This mighty earthquake is taking place, but God is not in that earthquake. And the very next thing it says is that a fire goes by. Now, I don't know how to imagine this fire. I don't know what it looks like, but to me, some kind of mighty blaze just whoosh past Elijah and God is not in the fire. And then all of a sudden, Elijah hears a whisper, and he knows that that is the voice of God. Now, you may look at a bunch of commentaries. There'd be many ways to view this incident. A lot of people would say, well, God is trying to demonstrate to Elijah that he doesn't just act in the mighty things. Sometimes he acts in the ordinary things. And I'm not saying that's a bad lesson at all. I'm not even saying that's not part of it. I'm sure that's part of it. But to me, there's something important about this concept of a whisper. To me, a whisper represents intimacy and closeness. The Bible never tells us what this whisper is. And we're never told what is being expressed in this whisper. But in my mind, at least, I feel as if God is saying to Elijah, I'm here, or I love you, or I'm with you. But whatever it is, there's this closeness that is proclaimed in a whisper. Interestingly enough, God has always been with Elijah. There's a drought in the land. God says, go sit down there by the brook. Elijah sits down by the brook, and guess what? Ravens come and feed him. That's Mike. I'm liking this. I'm like, yeah, that's what I like to. Well, I guess the ravens got tired. God decides, I want to show Elijah a different way. So he sends him to the widow of Zarephath. And she's just about to make her last meal. She's about out of oil. She's about out of flour. Elijah shows up and he says, well, before you make a meal for you and your son, make a meal for me. She does. And her oil and flour never run out. In fact, he stays with her. And the whole time, she's making enough meals for him, her, and her son out of this flour and oil that was about to run out that never ran out. God has been with Elijah. You remember Elijah? He's up on the top of the mountain. He is battling it out with all these hundreds of Baal prophets. And they're calling down fire from heaven, which never comes. And he takes his sacrifice, puts it on an altar, pours water over it, enough water over it till it fills a whole trough around there. And all of a sudden, the moment he prays, God sends this fire down that consumes the sacrifice, the altar, the water, and everything there. Just a mighty display of God's power. Even after Elijah prays this prayer, angels come and attend him and bring him food. God has constantly been with Elijah. God has constantly said, I'm here. I want you to understand, as you live this life, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in or situation you're involved in, God is with you. If you're a Christian, God is with you. He is with you. He's beside you. He is within you. And that should bring you great comfort. There's nothing to fear when God is with you. The second prayer I want to look at is this prayer. Lord, heal me. This has been my prayer for quite a while now. Lord, heal me. I'm all about this prayer. This is a prayer almost everyone expects you to pray when you come to the hospital with them. Lord, heal them. I've prayed this prayer thousands of times. Heal me, heal them, heal everybody. I just want everyone to be whole. That would be great. And that will eventually happen. Lord, heal me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 7 and 8, this is what it says. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Here's Paul, he's saying, Lord, heal me. Over and over again, Lord, heal me. I can imagine what Paul's saying here. He said, Lord, I have been a great missionary for you. I am asking you to heal me, so that I can preach longer, so that I can serve in a stronger way, so that I can reach more people. Heal me, Lord. What's wrong with this request? But God's answer is rely on me. It doesn't bring healing. God's answer is rely on me. You don't have to be strong, Paul. Just accept my strength. In fact, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, this is what it says. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Preacher H.B. Charles tells the story of a woman who showed up at church every week praying the same prayer. It was a very simple prayer. The prayer went like this. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. That's what she prayed every single week. Week after week she prayed, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. In fact, kids at the church would start laughing every time she opened her mouth because they knew what prayer was coming out. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Finally, someone asked her, why do you pray the same prayer over and over again? She said, well, I'm just combining the two prayers that I know. See, we live in a bad neighborhood, and some nights there are bullets flying, and I grab my daughter and I hide on the floor, and in desperation, I cry out, oh Lord. But when I wake up in the morning and see that we're still okay, I say, thank you, Jesus. When I go to take my child to the bus stop and she gets on the bus and I don't know what's going to happen to her, I cry out, oh Lord. And when 3 p.m. comes and the bus arrives and my baby is safe, I say, thank you, Jesus. She said, those are the only two prayers I know. And when I get to church, God has been so good to me. I just put those two prayers together. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. If we got to that point where we can just say, oh Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, but thank you, Jesus, that you're going to take care of it no matter what it is. No matter what my ailment, no matter what my problem, no matter what my prognosis, no matter what my count of days are in this world, I can trust you. I can rely on you. Have we learned that God's grace is sufficient? The last prayer I want to look at is a prayer that goes something like this. Lord, protect me. Lord, protect me. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you thought, this isn't going well. I'm in deep trouble here. Oh, Lord, protect me. Protect me. Save me from this. Here's the prayer. Luke 22, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. We all know who this is. This is Jesus. This is Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is ready to escape the cup, the cup of suffering, the cup that represents the pain of crucifixion, the cup that is the separation of him and the one he has never been separated from his Father, who wouldn't want that cup to pass? And Jesus transparently reveals his anguish. I don't want this, God, but I'll accept your will. Whatever you want, whatever you need. And God's answer is, I have a plan. I have a plan. For Jesus, it's, son, you're going to become sin so that all my children can become righteousness. And this temporary pain and separation will reveal or result in an eternal joy with all of the family. With all of the family. Back in the Old Testament, there's these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you're familiar with VeggieTales, Rack, Shack, and Benny. Nebuchadnezzar, he builds this humongous idol, and he says, everyone's going to worship this idol. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not going to worship it. Makes him so furious, he says, well, then you're going to die. And he gets the furnace, and he stokes it up 7 times hotter than normal, and he's getting ready to throw them in there. And they say, we will not bow and worship God. We believe that our God can save us and will save us. But even if he doesn't, we are not going to worship your idol. And he throws them in there. If you remember, even the guards that took them up to the furnace, they die because it's that hot. Once they throw them in there, Nebuchadnezzar's looking in there and he says, hey, how many guys we throw in there? Three? Well, I see four. And they're not being burned up. They look like you're having a good time. He says, come out of there. And they come out of there. They don't, their hair is not singed. Their garments aren't singed. They don't smell like fire or smoke or anything. They're completely and utterly fine. And when Nebuchadnezzar looked in here, he says, it looks like the son of the gods. Now, the Bible never really tells us who's in there. An angel? Jesus? I tend to think Jesus. At least I like that thought. This thought that they get thrown in here and they meet Jesus. They're at least in the presence of God one way or the other. And here they are, realizing that there can be joy even in a furnace. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this, for I know the plans you have for me, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I want you to understand that no matter how bad things get, no matter how much you want God to protect you, save you from what's going on in your life, he has already made a plan to save you. He's already provided protection, eternal protection. His plan is true and fruitful, and it is what we should thank him for. I found this prayer. It goes like this. God, thank you for the closed doors. Thank you for not allowing me to settle for second best. God, every time I thought I was being rejected from something good, you were redirecting me to something better. God, I pray you will give me peace when frustration creeps in. I pray you will give me strength to press on when I'm told no. God, I thank you for teaching me that no is just a step to a bigger and better yes. I want you to understand that even in unanswered prayers, we can thank God, because the true blessing is that we are in his presence, we are covered by his power, and we are involved in his eternal plan. You are blessed, whether you get what you ask for or not. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for all you bless us with, and we come this morning recognizing that we are blessed, even when the requests we make are answered negatively, contrary to what we want. We are still blessed because we are in your very presence and have your power in our lives and have your plan and purpose to live by. I pray for each one here. I know so often we want what we want,